The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes podcast.
So, hello, dear internet traveller. You have happened upon the podcast for the XFM Breakfast Show. I'm John Holmes. It's the least worst bits of all of last week. Once again, just sort of squashed into an easy to listen to sort of handy. Think of it like a travel version. You know, you get Scrabble, don't you? You get Scrabble the game. And then if you're travelling, you get a travel Scrabble, don't you? There's a little version of it that's not as good. But it's handy, I think. So it's a little bit like that. It's a smaller version.
In theory, though, it should be better, shouldn't it? Because
I was about to say that, yeah. Because most of it is just rubbish. Yeah. You really listen to it across the week, isn't it?
No, but I wouldn't do that.
No, I wouldn't recommend that to anyone. But when you condense it all down, you know, there's an occasional nugget of gold in there, don't you? Non-award nominated, obviously. We didn't get any award nominations, did we, this week, unlike some other KISS radio breakfast shows. KISS, yeah. Whatever they are, whatever they do, the shout and scream. I don't think we do enough shouting and screaming, Dave. That's the problem.
Maybe that's what it is. Yeah.
Listen to the radio!
That's what they do, isn't it? That gets them an award nomination. Mm. But we have nuanced satire, Dave, and
are they looking for anyone to do a podcast by any chance?
Shut up, Alex. You're doing our podcast.
Okay.
And that's all about you. So we might enter this for the best podcast category.
Okay.
Even though there isn't one of those. Mm. And if we... that'll be down to you then.
Sure.
This is Alex, the podcast maker, by the way. Good, in case you're wondering.
Hello.
Introduction.
Yeah. Don't want to confuse people, John.
No, don't want to confuse
God
people.
God forbid.
At all.
Olivia's got a cold. That's what I sound like this.
Featuring the podcast this week, I imagine, Jake. Our substitute newsreader will be along, won't he, as well? Because Matt Dyson's on his honeymoon, as we know.
He is.
So,
hi, Matt. You'll be listening to this from Kefalonia.
Oh, Matt will be lying by the pool listening to this podcast.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
Yeah. Instead of making sweet, sweet love with his new wife,
yeah.
Matt will be going, can you just hang on 45 minutes? Because I need to listen to the week's podcast. And to be honest, it's only really John and Dave's voices that get me aroused, isn't it?
And ironically, that's how long it does actually take him to make love, 45 minutes.
Wow, impressive.
Yeah, I know.
Actually. Yeah, although that is basically 2 minutes and then 43 minutes wait for the pizza to be delivered, isn't it? That's the entire process of the lovemaking there, Matt Dyson. We're even insulting him he's not here. I kind of like that. Good. So, what's in it, Alex? What's in today's?
Today's podcast, we've got Simon Pegg.
Of course.
We've got the Matt Dyson taking Lords of Misrule out of the office and into the church.
Certainly did. Into the speech, yeah.
We've got Ralph Little.
Yeah.
High priest fixing the Crowley's Thought of the Day.
Thought of the Day for Satanists.
That's correct. Good. Under Resource Studio and Rockstars as Mr. Men.
Well, you can't say fairer than that, can you? In your face, KISS.
As Black Rod knocks on the door of the XFM Breakfast Show, as is the tradition, to ask permission to enter to summon MPs to hear Her Majesty the Queen outline the government's plan for the show ahead this morning. And here she comes now, looking resplendent in her ceremonial dress.
My Lords and Members of the House of Commons, my government's legislative programme will continue to focus on building a stronger economy.
Oh, Her Majesty there, her crown made of ermine fur from a dead ermine there. Dress the same dress as Kylie Minogue's weird flowery one from that premiere of The Great Gatsby. And she's joined by her husband, of course, the Duke of Edinburgh, ceremonially bringing the traditional racism to this very important occasion, and also bringing the royal gun to shoot any of those endangered ermine, as we mentioned, should any of them escape from the Queen's hat. And she's beginning to outline plans now for this morning's XFM breakfast programme. And she's just saying now that we'll also be having a thought for the day for Satanists. So it's good to see some religion making its way into the bill for this morning's breakfast programme. And also before 8 o'clock, yes, Her Majesty is just saying that we will be having new rules on pensions and curbing immigration into the XFM breakfast show this morning.
A draft bill will be published.
A draft bill about the music now, she's suggesting it's going to come this morning from the likes of Blur, and I think Her Majesty just said Biffy Clyro as well there. plus we've got the new single from the Royal Band of the Coldstream Guards that Her Majesty said there.
Creating a fair, simple...
Yes, they do. She's saying that Dave, the producer, will create a fair and simple foundation in the production work of the programme. And Jake is by royal decree to read the news throughout the programme this morning, and I am I'm an independent commissioned to be called the name of John Holmes, and that's Her Majesty the Queen declaring this morning the XFM Breakfast Show well and truly open.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes podcast. XFM.
So good morning then, XFM Breakfast and guest action I promised you, and guest action. I want action from you, Ralph Little.
I'm all about action.
I know you are. I've known you for a while. I'm going to start with the thing, actually, because I've always wondered this. You know, you had a chat show on BBC Three about... remember that?
Yeah.
Well, I was one of your guests and you interviewed me, and now the tables are somewhat turned.
Yes.
I remember that being a very good night, and we went out drinking afterwards, and I remember you leaving with one of the actresses from Footballers' Wives, and I ever wondered if I ever went anywhere. There's an opening question right there, wow. Ralph Little.
They were hazy days. I was 22, and I'm now 33. That was 11 years ago.
Yeah.
So I'm basically, I can't remember.
Ladies and gentlemen, media training in action, right there.
You're lucky I didn't take you home.
You tried.
Like something I would have done.
Yeah, I actually feel quite annoyed that you don't remember that. It's one of the best nights of my life, Ralph.
I remember your hand was on my knee for a long time, and it was awkward, but we just moved on.
It wasn't your knee. Okay, so, it's lovely to have.
Wasn't
lovely
your
see
hand.
You. It's lovely to see you, as ever. Now, let's talk... Well, let's get it out of the way first. You're in a play. You're in so many things. But this is the play, The Life and Death of Joe Egg.
Yes.
Which we'll start talking about that, and then veer off in some weird tangent.
Sure,
very shortly,
sure that'll
I'm
happen,
sure.
Yeah.
For those that may not know, because this is a very powerful... This is a very powerful play, but certainly when it came out in the 60s, originally, it's a powerful piece of work.
It's a 60s classic. It's black comedy, very, very, very funny. I mean, it's an extraordinary piece of writing by legendary writer Peter Nichols. There was a lovely thing it said in the Standard a couple of days ago, said he manages to smuggle seriousness onto the stage in the guise of comedy. And it's this incredibly clever way that he does it.
Have you been reading your own reviews, Ralph?
Yeah, I am. Well, I always do, and you're not supposed to.
You're not supposed to.
But the thing is, and the reason you're not supposed to is because a good review, you always think, oh, I wish that could have been better. And a bad review is etched on your soul forever.
Absolutely so, true. Yeah. It's worse now with the internet and the Twitters.
I know. But I have to say, luckily, these, certainly for theatre, but these are the best reviews I've ever had.
One final question to you. The Royal Family, of course, which a lot of people know, that's your breakthrough and everything else. Mm. When you started off, you were doing your A-levels. And how did you audition for that? Did you, how did that come about?
I was doing bits and pieces as a kid.
Yeah.
When I was 13, I joined a local drama group in Bury, where I'm from, and that woman who ran that set up a kids agency. So it was all just kind of very by accident, and it was like a hobby that, I did like an episode of Heartbeat here and there and Children's Ward and all that kind of thing. But it was all just a hobby. Never thought I was actually going to do it.
Were you ever in the bill?
I was, but after
everyone's
the Royal Family.
Everyone's in the
after
bill.
All that,
come
yeah,
on.
Yeah.
Good,
well, Children's
good.
Ward, anyone who, I mean, it's finished now, but anyone who's in Corrie of a certain age, anyone who's done anything up north of a certain age, I guarantee they did an episode of Children's Ward or Heartbeat or both, and I did both, but so I was just sort of doing it as a hobby, and then I auditioned for heard about this audition, went along, met Caroline and Craig, read for 5 minutes, thought I was terrible, and by the time I got home they rung to say that they wanted me to do it, and that was literally the day that changed my life. Yeah, I look back at it now and I just think, my God, I'm so young and so ugly.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes podcast. XFM.
9 Inch Nails, Head Like a Hole. Would you like tickets to Channel 4's Comedy Gala? Would you though? The one that's in aid of Great Ormond Street Hospital. You know that. Takes place a week on Saturday at the O2. And you could get them by simply identifying the location of Miles Hunt out of Off of the Wonder Stuff. As ever, he has a poor series of clues to denote his location. If you can guess where he is, you could be in with a chance of getting those tickets. It's not the road. It could be anywhere. We don't know where. Literally anywhere in the world. All we know really is that he's serenaded in by Winger. Lead singer and bass player Kip Winger. Nothing left to run, we had just when I needed you most. miles away. Good morning, Milo. How are you?
Very well, John. You?
Oh, very well, thank you. Lovely to speak to you as ever, of course.
Indeed.
What's new? What have you been up to?
Not a great deal. Taking it easy, really. But I was laughing then when you were playing Nine Inch Nails, because the last time I went to see them,
yeah,
was in Wolverhampton, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, maybe more. And it was an astonishing gig.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. I mean, the band were brilliant, but the light show and all of that in true Nine Inch Nails fashion was just stunning. But halfway through the gig, I went to the bar, and the bloke standing next to me just looked at me and goes, "That's not a gig in there. It's a bleeding art installation."
Quote of the week there, I think.
Fantastic, yeah.
Oh, marvellous. Good. I thought the same when I saw you as well.
Bless you. Life so well.
Of course I did. Nonsense. Okay, now this is how it works. As we know, you give us a series of clues, identify. Very much people go on a Miles Hunt for Miles Hunt. That's how it works. Tickets today, Miles, to the Channel 4 Comedy Gala.
Amazing. Yeah, are you part of this?
Absolutely. Am I part of it?
Yeah.
No, the clue is in the word comedy there. I'm more of your art installation.
Of course.
So, when you're ready, let's find out where you are this morning, please.
I'm ready. Okay. I am Miles Hunt from Out of Off of the Wonder Stuff. And this morning, John, you'll find me on another island. But this one is in the South Pacific, and he's so heavily disguised that no one from the outside would know that it's a secret base. There's a main house on the island, John, which has a retractable swimming pool, from which number one... Okay. I was wondering how you were going to, like, you know, make the audio for a swimming pool, yeah, splashing kids, but no, okay, whatever that was, a lift.
Okay, that was a retractable roof. Was it?
Oh, okay. Very good. Okay. So there it is, your retractable swimming pool or roof or lift from which number one can launch.
Now that sounds like a boiling kettle, doesn't it?
No, that was good, actually.
I like that.
All
right,
well done, all. Well, fake rocks hide the entrance to hangar of number two.
That's like a fake rock noise.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rock rolling away.
Okay.
Go on.
With the fake rocks hide the entrance to the hangar of number two, which leads onto the island's runway. On exiting the hangar, the palm trees lining the runway sweep outwards to accommodate a wingspan, John. And it is from here that all manner of emergencies are dealt with, from problems in space... Nothing for space?
No, I don't think there's anything there.
I see what you've done here as well. Your rock sound effect is actually the underwater sound effect.
Yeah. Yes, why not? Why not? Yeah.
Problems in space, the problems are underwater.
Yeah.
There's a good one there. You just put a straw in a glass and blow.
Sorry, yeah. Bear that in mind for next time. Cheers.
I know that because we did it on Size of a Cow, but that's me self-promoting again. From problems with space to problems underwater and problems with puppet strings getting all tangled up. The question is, John, where am I?
The XFM Breakfast Show.
So did you work out where Miles Hunt was on today's Miles Away? Thousands did. Picked entirely at random, though, will be un person. That person is on line 8,000,000,006. Hello, is that, who's that? Who's that?
Hi, John, this is Dan.
Hello, Dan, how are you?
I'm very well, how are you today?
I'm fine, thank you for asking. Dan, where do we find you in this fair nation, Dan? Where are you?
Oh, I'm just out of range, so it's great that you've called me. I'm in Sevenoaks now.
Oh, Sevenoaks, yeah. You have to switch to your app. Or your app to be listening down in Sevenoaks. Yeah, they're all futuristic down there. Where do you think, from that series of clues, that Miles was this week? Where do you think Miles was this week?
I thought it might have been Stansted Airport, but then I've gone for Tracy Island.
Let's go to Miles and find out what the correct answer was.
This week, John, I was on Tracy Island, off of Thunderbird. That's
yay!
From Out of Thunderbird.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast. XFM.
Good morning then, this is XFM Breakfast. I'm John Holmes, and as promised, I've come down now 27 levels below XFM's sub-basement. Down here, it's, I'll be honest, it stinks of wee because it's where Ian Camfield sleeps. But please welcome to the under-resourced studio, Liam Gallagher.
Welcome, Ian.
John.
How are you?
Well, how are you?
Good. It's nice to have you in here. I want to ask you a little bit before you play a song for us this morning. I want to ask you a bit about BDI.
Yep.
Well, is it true, like Sauron's eye, is it true that the BDI, your BDI, is a manifestation of the evil within you? Is that a fair assessment of it?
It's probably giving it more intellectual property than it's worth, if I'm honest, John. I wouldn't think about it that much.
Well, let me read a quote to you. The lidless eye, this is about you, the lidless eye, the great eye, rimmed with fire, but glazed yellow, black slit of its pupil opened as upon a pit, a window into nothing. And that was in the NME, and that was written by the Hobbit Frodo after he ventured to one of your BDI gigs, apparently.
Sure.
Across the dark land, because you played that gig on Mount Doom, didn't you, that time?
Yeah. Good festival gig.
Yeah. And so what's the tower about, with the great big tower, the fortress of Liam Gallagher, isn't it, it's called, and it's got that BI at the top, and I wondered, is it BD?
It's not that BD, is it? It's a huge tower. Have you been to the tower?
I've seen the tower, yeah, I've seen
it's
it.
It's huge!
I know, it's
how could you say that's a BD? Do you know what BD means?
A squinty, isn't
it? Yeah. It's a flipping massive eye in my tower, John.
Yeah, but it's squinty, it's all squinty. It can see, it's all seeing, that's the point of it, isn't
I'm
it?
I'm going to put you in touch with my architect, because he's not going to be happy with your review of his work.
What about the orcs? What are they for? Are you building an army?
No. They clean my bathroom.
Yeah, right. How many bathrooms has the tower got?
Six
bathrooms.
Yeah.
And that's not enough for a tower that's about 1,000 feet high on the plains of Mordor, is it?
Sometimes you get caught between two floors.
What, seven bathrooms?
And you just need to let go, but...
How many bedrooms has the tower got?
Hang on, wait. 17 million.
17 million bedrooms. Wow, now you see, you will have to have a word with your architect, because I'm no expert, but I don't think six bathrooms is enough
bathrooms
for 17 million bedrooms.
Well, not if they're all full.
No, but, well,
I rarely have people to stay, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's not so bad then, is it? Are any of them en suite?
My one is.
Can I ask, have you got a BDB day? Any bathroom that you've got a BDI? You've got a BDB day?
I do have a BDI.
Is it BD?
What would constitute a BDB day? Probably.
A B-day with a narrow opening.
Yes. Yes, it is.
I think that's a scoop for XFM there, that Liam Gallagher has a BDB day. You're going to play for us here in the Unresolved Studio, aren't you?
Absolutely.
What song are you going to do?
I'm going to do an old Oasis one. Going to do Live Forever.
Okay, great. And what instruments have you found in the cupboard that we've just got left behind?
There's a bassoon.
Yes, there is.
A xylophone.
Interesting.
And there's some spoons. I don't really know how to play the spoons. But I'll use the spoons.
Okay, well, I look forward to it.
It might just be a man hitting the spoons together.
That's how you use the spoons. That's how you play the spoons.
But there is some skill involved, isn't there? I mean, I'm talking literally just sort of two hands hitting spoons.
I'm happy with that.
Like a toddler.
I look forward to watching.
Okay.
In your own time, Liam Gallagher in the Under-Resourced Studio.
Baby, I don't really want to know how your garden grows, and I just wanna fly. Lately, did you ever feel the pain in the morning rain as it soaks you to the bone? Maybe I just wanna fly, I wanna live, but don't wanna die. Maybe I just wanna breathe, maybe I just don't believe. Maybe you're the same as me, we'll see things they'll never see. You and I are gonna live forever. We're gonna live forever.
Oh, yeah. The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast. XFM.
A man of the cloth or a lady of the same cloth will turn up. Very much indulge you in a thought for the day. A religious, a spiritual sort of message to send you
to send you on your day, maybe let you leave the house with a spring in your step and Jesus in your heart. But what about the other side of the coin? What about the Satanists? There's nothing really for them, is there? There's nothing for people who worship the devil, and it's equally valid, isn't it? So we like to address that, because we're all about fairness here at XFM. We're not biased one way or the other. We're all about equality. And we like to address that on a weekly basis by inviting the high priest of the Church of Mephistopheles in Hendon. He's called Vexen Le Crowley, and each week we like to invite him in to share with us one of his thought for the days for Satanists.
Recently, I found myself in the queue to see Paul Simon, formerly of Simon & Garfunkel, perform his seminal work Graceland live in its entirety. I'll confess, it's not the sort of music I usually listen to, ordinarily preferring Norwegian black death metal with lyrics which openly praise the enemy of righteousness. But as my wife is a fan of Paul Simon, and in particular his collaborations with Ladysmith Black Mambazo, it didn't seem a wholly unpleasant way to spend the evening. We found ourselves in the queue to enter the venue. I was idly wondering if security would spot my obsidian-handled, black-bladed sacrificial gutting knife when I saw someone ahead of us pushing in. I watched as they surreptitiously tried to stand further down the queue where the line wasn't quite as defined as it could be. And it was then that I found myself thinking, do you know, Satan is a lot like that, isn't he? After all, while man optimistically attempts to develop systems in order for society to function correctly, and also while the cavalier attitude of this gentleman had ridden roughshod over any such ambition, so the great pioneer of darkness continually demonstrates how we are only moments away from anarchy. And as a messenger for the Dark Lord myself, I felt compelled to assist this young man's ungodly crusade. But then I remembered that although I applaud man's evil deeds and his cruelty and unkindness to his fellow man, I am also British, and thus find people pushing in queues to be incredibly annoying. So I did what anyone in this situation would do. I screamed what I will admit was a vile obscenity at the gentleman in question and told him to get to the effing back. During the subsequent brawl, I have to say my sacrificial knife was discovered by the venue's security personnel, and I was ejected from the O2, and instead spent the night in a police cell, charged with carrying an offensive weapon. My wife, however, attended and enjoyed the concert. And that should give us all something to think about.
High Priest Vexen Le Crowley there of the Church of Mephistopheles in Hendon.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast. XFM.
Good morning then. Hello, XFM Breakfast. I'm John Holmes. Guest action this morning comes in the shape of Simon Pegg. Good morning, Simon.
Good morning to you.
Good morning to you. I'm not going to call you Simon Pegg. I'm going to call you Mr. Hollywood.
I think you couldn't be further from the truth.
Look at you there with your Hollywood face now and your Hollywood hair.
It's all changed.
It's all changed, isn't it? From back in the day when we were on Radio 4 together, Simon Pegg.
Doing the 99p challenge.
Absolutely right. I've got a photograph, right? I've still got this photograph. It's me, you, Peter Bainham,
yeah.
Armando Iannucci, Sue Perkins, right, in a line. And I look back at that now and I think, Simon Pegg there, I go, you know, where's Hollywood now, isn't he? And I look at Peter Bainham, writes Borat.
Yeah, he's in Hollywood. Sasha,
he's in Hollywood. Armando Iannucci, Oscar nominated for The Loop. Sue Perkins, Great British Bake Off. Me, in pop radio station in London.
Don't do yourself down, jeez.
How are you, though? You look...
I'm really well.
You're busy, busy, though, with this, all this film stuff that you do now.
I am, yeah. I'm having a little hiatus from shooting a film to do the Star Trek press tour, so I've just been in Vancouver, and then I have to go to Johannesburg after this press tour.
I'm just going to Canterbury where I live.
I'd rather go to Canterbury.
You liar!
Johannesburg is good. We've got all these rules where you don't leave ever your place, your bedroom ever.
Yeah.
And but it's going to be an adventure, I'm sure.
Yeah. I've seen the film. It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's exciting.
Do you find? Can you sit and watch? Because you're obviously film geek, right? We know this about you.
Yeah.
Do you when you do something like that, can you sit and watch it slightly objectively, or is it just a bit weird sitting and watching a film that you'd love if you weren't in it?
Yeah, sometimes when I watched the first one, because I didn't come into the first one until about 70 minutes in, because all the crew are gradually sort of introduced.
You say about
the story.
I bet you go 71 minutes 6 seconds.
Yeah, yeah. I was watching it and I was really enjoying it, and then my reaction literally was when I came in, because it was like, oh, it's not real. There's me.
Yeah.
So you have to turn down. You have to suspend your disbelief enormously.
I saw it in. I've not seen an IMAX 3D before.
Yeah.
So it's it's in IMAX 3D. So it's your face is just as big as a building.
I know. It's my nostrils would never be that big in any circumstance. The whole sort of advent of HD has meant that makeup artists have to really be on their game.
How is it kind of weird? You went from space, obviously, was kind of a breakthrough thing, but then sort of finding yourself standing the first time you. Next to like Tom Cruise or someone on a set. Did you do that thing of just go, I'm Simon from there?
I did have a bit of a freak out actually when I did the first Mission Impossible, because I was really jet lagged, and he just wandered on set with Ving Rhames and went, oh hey. And we just went straight into the scene, which required me to say this giant long speech, which I kept forgetting. But there was a Paramount are 100 years old last year, and they had a group photograph which they organised, like 108 people that have worked for Paramount.
They didn't invite me and Sue Perkins to that photograph.
They didn't? I noticed, yeah. Peter Bainham wasn't there either.
Good.
But it was a lot of, it was a lot of very, legends. There was everybody from like Mickey Rooney was there, and Jerry Lewis and... Yeah. Ernest Borgnine, but everyone in between, right up to Justin Bieber, who was there. There was like everybody in between, and I was sat with Molly Ringwald and John Cryer from Pretty in Pink, just next to Lando Calrissian, behind Kirk Douglas, next to Jack Nicholson, in front of Robert De Niro, and I did at that point think, what? I'm from Gloucester.
I'm now thinking, show off git.
There's no way of telling that story without it sounding like a show off git.
You really can't. No.
It's impossible.
Mission Impossible.
Well done. Yeah, nice link back.
Thanks very much. Even though we're not talking about that film, it was still a nice link back, I thought. In terms of, we can't give much away because there's a lot of talk on the internet about Star Trek, which I deliberately didn't read before we went to it. But there's a lot of talk about the villain and who it is, and without giving it away, it's suffice to say that Benedict Cumberbatch comes in and he doesn't steal the film, but he's good, isn't he? He's amazing. He does that. What's happened to his voice as well? It's all gone now.
He turned it bad, and I think in some respects he does steal it. He's an incredible presence in the movie, and it's Benedict's time, it's going to go crazy then.
Yeah. We're going to test your... stay with us, if you would. I'll be so kind. Not always. I want to stay forever.
I'm happy to sit here and drink coffee. I broke my foot, so walking anywhere is a pain.
You broke your foot. Yeah. How did you do that?
I was crossing the road. It's not a great story. I was crossing the road, and I think my shoe was on too loose. And so I stepped... It's like a desert boot. So if you imagine the weight of the foot went into the canvas part and rolled my foot over really quickly into the concrete of Granville Street in Vancouver, which is like Camden, but Canadian, and it went crack.
You're right, it's not a great story, is it?
It's not a great story. I really tried to beef it up then. That's the best one I've told.
Yeah, it's good.
I gave you
just
cultural information.
Up.
I said something about a canvas shoe. Usually it's like I was crossing the road and I broke my foot.
Stay with us. We're going to test your knowledge of Great Britain.
Okay.
Just to make sure you're still...
Not
gone all Hollywood on our ass. So stay with us. We're going to play Band or Quaint English Village.
I know this game.
Simon Pegg on XFM.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast. XFM.
In Roman times, there was a tradition when slaves became masters and masters became slaves for a feast, a festival, a day of celebration. They called it the Lords of Misrule.
And as mentioned, once a week, usually on a Wednesday, actually, on the XFM Breakfast Show, we like to send Dave into boring, dull corporate meetings here in the building, armed with phrases of corporate guff speak suggested by you. He then has to crowbar those phrases into those meetings. Everyone in this building, because we've been doing it for a while, now thinks Dave's an annoying git. But this week, Lords of Misrule special, because Matt got married. So last week we asked you for your suggestions of words, phrases, whatever you like, that he should try and crowbar into his wedding speech in front of friends, family and colleagues. And we had a lot to sift through. We had thousands of suggestions to sift through. And in the end we decided, given that all XFM colleagues and so on were there, really, we wanted something off-brand. in many ways of whom to do. And this came in. We had one text that came in and said, well, and this it didn't have a name on it, all right? So this is from someone who didn't have a name on it, but we do, because it was a text, we do have a phone number. So if it was you who suggested this, we will be calling you, because you did get, we said we would give away 100 iTunes music downloads for the thing we chose, and it'll be yours. So we had a suggestion that Matt should really recite lyrics from a song, which we kind of liked. And they initially, it was going to be the beginning to Ice Ice Baby by Vanilla Ice, which we thought would be nice. But then we decided that we wanted something that that sort of that was sort of said love, really. Said love. It spoke of commitment, and it spoke of really the ups and downs of a wedding, and the beauty, really, of the occasion, something that we know that his new wife, Katie, would absolutely despise. So, well, what we went for, and thank you for the suggestion, what we went for was Matt had to get the lyrics of Life is a Roller Coaster by Ronan Keating into his wedding speech. And, well, suffice to say, he pulled it off with aplomb. Here's what happened.
A little quote that I found, quite a moving quote. We found love, so don't hide it. Life is a roller coaster. You've just got to ride it. I need you, ooh. So stop hiding. Our love is a mystery. Let's get inside it.
Yeah, come on. And there, good work,
he's
man.
Did amazingly well with
he
it.
Did amazingly, John. I like that he's played it up to the crowd there. The best bit for me, though, was the fact that Dave Berry, Capital Radio's own Dave Berry,
who was sat next to me,
was sat next to you, and wondered what the hell was going on.
Yeah.
And you said to him, "We've made him do this for the programme."
Yeah.
And Dave just called you a swear word.
Yeah.
For making you actually make him do that.
He was utterly disgusted that we were taking the breakfast show to Matt's big day, the most memorable day of his life. We were making him crowbar in some ridiculous Ronan Keating lyrics into his one and only speech that he'll ever make at his wedding day.
But congratulations, if that was your suggestion, you get 100 iTunes music downloads. It was a Lords of Misrule special.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast. XFM.
XFM Breakfast then. Good morning, I'm John Holmes. Simon Pegg still with us, with his broken foot.
I know.
Let's see if we can make you feel... Well, this is where we test your knowledge of the country you left behind in many ways. By going off and being all...
I live in Hatfield!
So, this is Band or Quaint English Village. Are you playing against producer Dave here?
Yes.
I'll call out the name of something. It's either a band or a quaint English village. Right. Very simple. Are you ready to play?
I'm ready to play.
Simon Pegg, you ready to play producer Dave?
Yes.
Well, here we go then. Alphabetical order, of course. Dave and Simon. Simon first. Is this a band or is it a village, Simon Pegg?
Hit me.
Weather Wallop. Weather Wallop.
That's a village.
It's very good. Straight in, yeah. Okay, Dave. Meat Hop. Meat Hop.
That's a band.
It's not, it's a village. Meat Hop is a village. Thong.
That's a band.
It's a village in Kent.
Ah.
Kent. Kent. Village in Kent. Thong. Yeah. Dog End. Dog End. Is that a village or is it a band?
I'm sticking with band.
It is a band. Yes, this game. Good work. Good work. Good work.
For what it's worth.
Pity Me. That's not a request. That is...
Will you stop being so self-deprecating, John? That is a... village.
It is a village. It's in County Down. Good. Fountainhead. Fountainhead, Dave. That a band or is it village? Fountainhead.
That sounds like a village.
It's a band.
It is a band. I know that band.
Yeah.
Good,
see? More knowledge than producer Dave. More music. I like that. Portishead.
Oh, well, that's obviously a village and a band.
Ah, good. Oh, 2 points. Yeah, nicely done. Licky. Lickfold. Lickfold.
Lickywood.
It's near Lickywood. Lickfold.
Village.
Is in East Sussex. Yeah, is right. Upper Vickers.
Now you could be tricking me there because it sounds like a village, but maybe it's a band?
It's a village?
Ah! Is it a village or a band?
A village.
Oh, of course it's a village. Oh, that's what I said.
Crinkly Bottom. What?
Crinkly Bottom
Village.
Yeah, where Noel Edmonds
is. It's a fake village.
Well, I didn't specify it had to be.
True.
Yeah, it's Crinkly Bottom.
I stand corrected.
Yeah, yeah. Upper Vicar's Bottom.
Upper Vicar's Bottom?
Yeah.
That's just an innuendo,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly right, yeah. So not even that subtle.
It's neither.
Band or village? Village people.
That's a band.
Yes, it is. Yeah, of sorts. Ventong Gimps.
That sounds like some sort of German techno outfit. It's a band?
It's a village in Cornwall.
Oh. Oh,
and finally, Dave, band or village, Sandy Balls. Sandy Balls, band or village.
That's a band.
It's not, it's a village in the New Forest. Sandy Balls Holiday Park, you can go
Sandy
and stay
Balls.
There.
Everybody's been there.
Everyone's
I've
been,
not been to Sandy Balls.
Have you not?
No.
You should go to Sandy Balls.
I will.
Yeah.
Have you had them?
He's not answering that, is he?
Weird silence.
Dave mentally going, I wish I hadn't started this. Let's look at the scores. Well, quite simply, Simon Pegg, you're the winner. Simon Pegg, the winner.
Thank you very much.
In band or Quaint English Village, I think we can.
That was a good one.
That was good. Except that you have remained true to your roots.
I knew it.
Simon Pegg.
I live in Lickfold.
You live and breathe Lickfold, for all I can see.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast.
XFM. I don't know whether you've seen this in the news. Dave, have you seen any of the news this morning, Dave? Any of it?
I've seen bits and bobs.
Which, give it a percentage out of the news you've seen, and what percentage would you say you'd actually seen?
What are the news that I've seen against all the news that's been released today?
That's right.
Oof. Yeah, 44%.
Oh, that's quite a lot of news.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know whether you noticed, though, as part of that, that... now, Mike, this is in the news this morning. Michael Gove, you know, the Education Secretary,
yeah.
He has been criticising schools again, in particular this time, history teaching in primary and secondary schools, primary and above. Because he's discovered that there was an online lesson plan that had students... to learn about the Second World War, this online lesson plan was inviting students to create a Mr. Men character based on Adolf Hitler.
Right.
Now, already, I can sort of see his point,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
I mean, that's sort of fraught with all manner of so much wrong, isn't it, in a way? And but he's sort of saying, you know, he's despairing of history being taught in this sort of childish way, really. He thinks it should be a lot more serious. This Mr. Men style of history teaching. But I thought, apropos of that, it could work as an educational tool, and certainly in the realm of music, Dave, which is, of course, our bread and also our butter.
It is.
So this morning I thought we could have a little bit of fun, Dave, on the text-in by providing a Mr. Men guide to rock music history.
Okay,
do you see what I mean? Shall I give you an example?
Please do.
For instance, you know, if you were to perhaps draw this as well, if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Because they're easy to draw, the Mr. Men, aren't they? It's quite good. You know, Bez, for instance, would be Mr. Happy, wouldn't he?
He would.
In many ways. Bono, Mr. Worry. Always worried about the poverty, isn't he? And everything, he's worried about that, all that. So Bono, Mr. Worry. George Michael, obviously Mr. Bump. Clearly, you know, there he is sitting in a Range Rover hitting the front of a Snappy Snaps in one of his Mr. Men adventures.
Of course.
Isn't he? And there he is again in a public toilet. Maybe Mr. Zippy for that one. I don't know what you want to call him. Pete Doherty would be Miss Demeanor. Thank you for that. I haven't put your name on it, but thank you for it anyway. Michael Jackson, yeah, okay. Mr. Plastic. All right, yeah. I will be honest with you now. The majority of the hundreds that have come in already are all about Mr. Tickle and are all unbroadcastable in current events. So use your own imagination there. Mr. Tickle.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast. XFM.
Hey, did you know Hollywood A-listers rely on the world's most expensive skincare? Woo! Because I didn't, but I do now because of lazy PR. So, as mentioned, what happens is, if you work in the media, as we are forced to do, we get targeted all week by PR and marketing companies trying to push their product or clients onto us for interview opportunities and or promotion of their wares. PR companies are paid a lot of money by their clients to place products around the media. So whenever you see something like the following that we're going to bring to you in the newspapers or on TV, on the radio, someone somewhere is being paid to put it there. That's how it works. But particularly lazy is the way that... So we get sent this stuff by people who've clearly never listened to the programme, assuming that we're going to cover it and interview their clients. Well, of course, it doesn't fit at all, and we wouldn't. So this came in this morning, or this week, rather, because on a Friday we like to round all this stuff up. Dear John, did you know Hollywood A-listers rely on the world's most expensive skincare? However, now, Bruti? Yes, that. Beauty brand B has launched a new range at Superdrug. Because I don't know about you, but whenever I've been in Superdrug buying, you know, toothpaste or something, yeah. I often see the Hollywood A-listers walking up and down the aisles, don't you? And I think there's never a time I've been in a branch of Superdrug when I haven't seen either, I don't know, J-Lo or Gwyneth Paltrow.
If the paparazzi had any sense about them, just go and hang outside a Superdrug, because the A-listers are going to swing by at some point.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely, the A-listers, yeah. You know, I saw George Clooney in there buying tampons once. Yeah, they all go down there. But apparently this beauty brand B that's J-Lo's favourite wrinkle fighter from Superdrug, that's what it says. That's what Superdrug have said. That it's packed, by the way, with the red carpet hero ingredients, apparently. What the hell is that? But it's all right, because we could have found out, because Simon Commins, the Superdrug buying director, has said, we can't stock this product fast enough. It literally just keeps selling out. To chat to Simon, why not get in touch? Now, oddly, we haven't been in touch, because for me, Simon doesn't do his job very well either, because if it literally, Simon, keeps just selling out, as you mentioned, and you're the buying director, why not get more of it? That's rule one of retail, isn't
it? Supply and demand.
Exactly, yeah. So we haven't called them back. Here's one here. This is, I think you'll like this. Again, the headline, which drew me in, I'll be honest, Dave. Great new summer prize. Yeah. And then it's one of those that starts off politely like it knows us. Hi, guys. Hi, guys. We've got a fantastic new travel holiday comp for you. Thank you. To run now, the holiday season is here. We've got this gorgeous weather. Let's just look out of the window. Not so much, is it? One of the prize is worth £50 and contains the below. They've listed what the prizes that we could give away in a holiday comp.
Good.
Today. Do you want to know what they are?
Yeah.
Right, we've got prize number one, and this might be the top prize.
Well, it must be if it's number one, yeah.
A family pack of four Zappits in different colours. What are Zappits, you might ask? Well, handily, they've told us in brackets, Dave.
They needed to.
They're mosquito bite relief devices. Prizes! Prize number two. This is gold. I wish I could have won these, but I can't enter the competition. No. Prize number two. Two probiotic Actimint pots containing 60 tablets each for traveller's tummy. And prize number three. Try and contain yourselves.
Okay.
Three Mad Gabs natural lip balm for sunny days!
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast. XFM.
So, Mr. Men this morning, Michael Gove has criticised teachers, saying that they use a Mr. Men style of history teaching. This is because he found an online revision tool inviting students to create a Mr. Man character based on Adolf Hitler to learn about the Second World War. So, we thought we'd use that idea to learn about rock history today. So Special Ed on Twitter said, Pete Burns, you remember him? Pete Burns from Dead or Alive, you know. Mr. Little Miss. Hashtag Mr. Men Rockstars. Glover's Musings on Twitter. Bob Geldof, Mr. Scruffy.
Yeah.
Clearly. Ozzy Osbourne, Mr. Muddle. Nice. What have you got, Dave?
Morrissey would be Mr. Blooming Miserable, of course.
It doesn't say blooming there. I noticed that you've...
I've censored myself.
A producer veneer to that.
Yeah,
anyway, yeah, very good, yeah.
Mr. Jagger, Mr. Lippy, Liam Gallagher, Mr. Nasty.
And oh, James, that's harsh.
I think that's a little bit harsh. And James Arthur, Mr. Crappy, which is about accurate.
This isn't even a pop star, James Waters. Daniela Westbrook, she's not even a pop star. And I don't think she'd like to be called Little Miss One Nostril either. It's a bit harsh, isn't it?
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast. XFM.
Whoop, more whooping, more whoop, 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 whooping.
Best podcast ever.
Yeah, thank you. Am I right? That is how Kiss Breakfast would do theirs, right?
And I think so.
They're the award nominees. Yay, I'm Ricky and the other one. Yeah, the girl. Woo! Yeah, yeah, yeah. Award-winning stuff from XFM there.
If you like this podcast, why not check out some of the other great ones available to download at xfm.co.uk.
XFM.
Smart on Sunday.
For the last 12 months, we've been trying to get Mickey Flanagan in the studio, and finally we managed to strong-arm him into the studio through Leicester Square, which is kind of like a Cockney's Mecca, Leicester Square.
This is where we're drawn to for the big night out.
Right.
Up West.
Yeah, we're up
People
West.
People say... I'm going up West, and you go, ooh, oh, yeah. Keep your hands in your pockets. Yeah.
Because the last time I saw you, I was in your house. I was
invited.
Right. I was invited.
Yeah.
And there was a perfect sort of Mickey Flanagan shape on the couch where you'd been lying.
Yeah. Well, we've had that filled in now.
Right, yeah.
Because it was people were falling down it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you like the little matted clumps of hair?
Oh, it was lovely.
That was nice, was it?
But the thing, when people always say to me, have you met Mickey Flanagan yet? And I always say to them, he's got lovely paint in his house. The walls, and he's got a good paint. I think it's that posh stuff from Farrow and Ball.
It was a high quality paint. Yeah. You know, from my painting and decorating days, I do sort of say to him, if you can find a bit extra for a good quality paint, it is worth it. Yeah. And I went the extra mile and I said to her, go on, have the good gear.
Music. Music. The Rocks. XFM.